All right, well, hey, you picked a good Sunday to be here, not only with our all-ages service, but we are wrapping up our summer series. Our summer series has been called Beside Still Waters, going through Psalm 23. And I don't know about you, but God has been working in my life throughout the summer in this. God has spoken multiple things into who I am and what he wants to do in my life, and I pray the same for you. So today is going to be the last message in this series with that. And the title is this, A Never Ending Chase. A Never-Ending Chase is the title. And if you got a Bible, you can open it up. We're going to be in Psalm 23. As I said, there's a Bible in your chair in front of you. It'll be on the PowerPoint behind me as well. And here's the last verse of Psalm 23. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And because of our time today, I'm going to focus more so on that first part of it. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Now, here's one really, really important thing you need to hear before we jump in, and that's this. The word follow in that verse right there is not a good translation. That word actually does not mean so much follow. A better translation of that Hebrew word is chase or pursue. In fact, the word means to put to flight, to dog, to attend closely, or to chase after. In fact, it was a word that was used in reference to combat, actually, in a negative sense, like someone being chased down in combat. And so the idea is not so much that God's love and goodness pursue me or follow, or excuse me, follow after me. When I think of that, I think about our little dog, Nala. Nala is about, there she is. How cute is she? Come on, right? Look at that. Just about a 10 and a half, 11 pounds of just cuteness roaming on our home. But here's what I don't get. Every time at night, around 9:30, as I'm getting ready for bed, and I get up at night, she follows me everywhere. Now, in the day, she doesn't do this, but at night, I go to the kitchen, pitter, 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 patter, I hear. Right? I go to the bedroom, pitter, 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 patter, and she follows me all around the house. I don't know what it is or why she does this, but she does it all the time. That is very different, a very different scene than something chasing or pursuing me. When I think of that, I think of a number of years ago when my wife and I went golfing with her parents. My wife's not much of a golfer, but she's learning. And we went with her parents, and we're on the green. They're getting ready to putt, and my wife is deathly afraid of bees. Anybody in that camp? You want to be ashamed? Our family is deathly afraid of bees. My wife feared bees, and all of a sudden, I saw a bee coming near her, and I said, honey, there's a bee. And she freaked out and started running around the green at the golf course with her putter. And I was trying to yell. The bee had left her. I was like, it's not there anymore. But she was screaming, is it gone? And I was like, yes, it's gone. But she couldn't hear. So she literally was running around the golf course thinking a bee was chasing her. Right? That's a different picture than following. And that's the picture David wants to see. That is God's goodness and love chasing you down today, chasing and pursuing me down this morning. Maybe another picture you can think of it is the Fugitive movie with Harrison Ford, right? Everyone's seeing that. Great movie back in the 90s, remember that? Where he's falsely accused of murdering his wife, and then he goes on the run for months and months with Tommy Lee Jones hunting him down. Why would you ever want Tommy Lee Jones hunting you down, right? And he's hunting down Harrison Ford, and it's that idea, like being chased down. You get the picture of that. Well, what I want you to hear today, I'm gonna unpack a little bit, is this. Regardless of my circumstances this morning, or regardless of how I feel, God is always chasing me down. Regardless of how you feel this morning in your life, or regardless of where you're at in your circumstances, God is always chasing you and I down. You know, one thing it's easy to forget is who wrote this psalm. David. And just to give you a quick snapshot of the man who wrote these words is this. When David was in his late teens and early 20s, David spent 7 years, think of that, 7 years running from King Saul, this wicked king who was chasing David down. And David spent 7 years, church, if you can imagine that, in caves and running and trying to escape from someone. Just a minute, if you can imagine, you get home today and there's a note on your front door that there's a group of people out to kill you. Would you be a tad concerned? And then what if you found out you would be on the run in your family for the next 7 years? crazy, isn't it? That was David. And then David, later on, his daughter is abused by his own son. And then the other son decides to take justice into his own hands, and he murders the other son. And totally wrecks their family. Their family, totally train wreck of a family. And then if that's not enough, in the latter part of David's life, in his early 60s, David's own son Absalom decided to usurp him as king, kicked his dad out as king in his early 60s, and David, again, 40 years later, is on the run again. And he's running away from his son, and it also turns into a civil war, and in that civil war, his son is killed. And then David, if you can get this, if you can grasp this, David lights a psalm, and he looks back over his shoulder, and he says this: the only thing I can see in my life is God's goodness and God's love. That's what that word surely at the beginning, the word surely means only. The only thing I can see is God's goodness and love over my life. Now, the question you should be asking is, how could he ever say that? Given the life he lived and lots of stuff I left out, how could he ever say something like that? And that's a great question. And I want to answer that question is, how in the same way can we look over our lives and say, the only thing I see in my life today is the goodness and love of God? And I want to give you a couple things. The first is this: we miss God's goodness because we're not looking for it. We miss God's goodness because I'm not looking for it. And here's the reality is, every single one of us this morning here has come into this building and sitting here right now, and we all have disappointments, and we all have losses, and we all have hurts, and we all have frustrations, and we all have wounds, and we all have pain, and we all have grief. We all have things we're struggling with right now and walking through. Every single one of us does. But the biggest temptation is to make that all-consuming in my life. And that be the only thing I see and the only thing I put my focus on is my problems and my struggles and my hurts and my wounds and all those things. When the reality is there are good things happening in my life right now, lots of good things, but I just miss them oftentimes because I'm not looking for them. You know, anyone in here ever done a thankfulness journal? Anyone went down those roads, or a gratitude journal? If you're not familiar what that is, it's a journal, and every day you begin your day, and you write maybe 3 or 5 or 10 things that you're thankful for. And I've talked to many people who've done it, and here's what I oftentimes hear, here's the script. The first couple days, honestly, it was kind of hard, actually. You would think it'd been easy, but we get so preoccupied on our problems and our challenges that it's hard to find things I'm thankful for, and I write down 2, and I go, that's it. There's nothing more. And then slowly over a month, though, I begin to write down more and more and more. And by the end of the month, here's what I've heard over and over and over. My circumstances didn't change, but my perspective did. It didn't all of a sudden just vanquish all my struggles and problems and issues and hang-ups. But what changed after a month was my heart. And I began to have a heart of gratitude, and I began to see things in my life from a perspective of thankfulness. And I began to see all these areas of going, oh, wait a minute, God's over there, and God's right here, and oh, God is in that right there, even though it's difficult. And all of a sudden, I began thankful in doing that. I'll never forget, about a year ago, I was talking with someone in our church, and they've been going through a really hard number of years. It's been 3-4 years, really painful. And we sat down one time, and I said, hey, how's it going? And honestly, my thought was they would say, not good, and unpack the challenges. But they looked at me and they said, you know what, honestly, I can't believe just how blessed I am. And I kind of was like, what? You know your life, you know what's going on. And they said, you know what, honestly, I had a chance the other day and I sat down and I just thought about my life and I thought about my past and I thought about the decades that I've known Jesus. And I began to realize just how blessed I really am. I began to realize just how grateful that God has been to me, how faithful God has been to me, how good God has been to me. And I can honestly say when I look back, the only thing I see is God's goodness and God's love. And it happens, though, when you slow down and take a look at what has been going on. And it makes you think a lot about, and I come back to this, and when the Israelites crossed over the Jordan River, remember that part? And God parted the river at the season where the river was at the highest. And then after the Israelites passed through, God told them, go down the riverbed where you cannot get to any other time. Get 12 stones out and bring those stones. And then I want you to build an altar or a stack of those stones right there. And the people, of course, go, why? And God's answer is because generations and generations from now, when your kids come to you and you're in the midst of chaos, you're in the midst of struggle, you're in the midst of pain, you're in the midst of where is God, you take them by the hand and you march them back to those 12 stones. At least that's my summary of that, of what the Bible says. You march them over those 12 stones and you have them put their hand on a stone and you tell them, long ago God parted this river and he rescued us through it. And the same God who was then is the same God of today. God has been faithful then, he'll be faithful today. And you also begin to realize, wow, God is moving, God is here, God is doing something. And maybe another way I can put it is this, that help you. I become what I focus on. I become what I focus on. Which begs the question, what are you focusing on today? What gets your energy, what gets your time, what gets your mental focus, what has your heart? Because whatever you are focusing on this morning, you are slowly becoming that person, whether you want to or not. Whatever you focus on is who you become. Here's the second one. I think why David was able to say that God's goodness and love comes. God's goodness and love don't chase me because I'm good and loving. They chase me because he is. That's a good time for an amen. Amen. Yes, God's love and goodness chase me not because I'm good and loving, but because he is. You know, I've shared this story before. I was talking with an older friend of mine. I'm 22, so he's like late 20s. I'm not, all right? I'm like 46. But anyway, I was talking to a friend of mine, late 50s, a couple years ahead of me. He had four kids, and he was telling me about his teenage daughter, or when his daughter was a teenager. And the teenage years, of course, can be challenging, as I know, with two teenage daughters. And he said it was a hard time with one of his daughters. And he said it was just like 2 years, literally, of just disaster. I mean, she was disrespectful, didn't listen, relationship was bad, and had nothing to do with me as a dad. It was just bad. And I said, well, what'd you do? And he said, well, obviously, I prayed. I prayed and asked, and God said to me this, I just want you to love her like I've loved you. I've loved you with no strings attached. I've loved you when you weren't very lovable. I want you to love her the same way I've loved you. And he said, okay, got it. And I said, well, okay, what did you do then? And he said, well, I decided every month I would give something to her. And so the first month he got her flowers and he got her a card and he just wrote, I love you in the card. And he put it up in her bedroom on the counter where she, for sure, when she opened the door, it'd be like right there in front of her. And so he did that. And I said, well, what happened? And he goes, well, she came home that day at school. He did it when she was at school. And he said that night at dinner, she was there. And I said, did she say anything to you? And he goes, no, zero. Didn't say a word. And I said, what happened? He goes, well, every month, literally for like 18 months, every month, I would leave her gift cards and presents and notes and all those things. He said, in the 18 months, she never said a word. She never acknowledged anything. I just kept loving her. And make a long story short, after that period, different things happened and she began to come back and the relationship got repaired. And at one point in that relationship, she sat down with him and she said, Dad, every single month I saw what you gave me. And every single month it meant a huge deal that you would do that. And she said, Dad, I want to thank you for loving me when I wasn't very lovable. I want to thank you for loving me when I wasn't very lovable. And, you know, I want you to hear this morning that the reason God's pursuing you this morning is not because you won the Mom of the Year Award or the Dad of the Year Award. God's not pursuing you because you have faithfully followed Jesus throughout the last year. That's wonderful. That's not why he does it. He's not pursuing you because you came here this morning and you've got it all dialed in. There's no questions or struggles or doubts. The reason he's loving and pursuing and chasing you is because that's who God is. That is the Father we serve. And the thing about it that's so powerful is that oftentimes I think we hear that and the default can be, oh, that almost feels like a free license then to live however I want to live and God doesn't care. But I think if I really own it, if I really grasp in my soul, that's how God treats me and sees me, it actually frees me for the opposite. Why would I not want to love God like that? Why would I not want to be that kind of person that extends grace and mercy to others? It actually frees me. It frees me to be the person God created me to be. It strips away a performance-based faith to follow God, and then he does things, and then I do things. It strips that away and allows me to freely follow Jesus. And what allows me to do is to be honest with God, to say where I'm really at, and allow him to change me from the inside out. Romans 5:8 says this, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we still were in rebellion against God and running from God, God's response was to die for me. I think here's the third thing that David learned. We often don't truly know what's best for us. You know, I think the truth is this. We really have no clue what's actually good for us. I mean, how many times in your life have you thought something would be a good pursuit? You did that thing, and you look back, and we're like, well, that didn't work out. Right? Have we all not been there? Or that was a big mistake, right? And then also, same thing in life, how oftentimes have you gone to something you thought was hard and painful, and then you look back later and thought, you know what, I would never have picked that, but wow, I needed that. Amen? Wow, God did something in that. In April this year, someone sent me a YouTube video of a conversation between Tyler Statton, he's a pastor down in Oregon, and Pete Gregg, who we've had a number of his books on prayer. He started the 24/7 prayer movement, and we have a number of books on prayer. Between these two guys, Pete Gregg and Tyler Statton, were talking, and the theme of the video was called redemptive suffering. Redemptive suffering. And Pete Gregg, he was the one who launched a 24/7 prayer movement, which took off about 25 years ago. What you may not know is 1 year after that happened, his wife was diagnosed with a massive brain tumor. And they went in and they did the procedure, and it was successful in removing it, but the outcome was that, number one, she had ongoing seizures and a chronic illness. And in the video, he said, it's been 20 years and we still are in that exact same place. We've prayed for 20 years, we've had people pray, we've gone to prayer gatherings, we've done everything you possibly could do. My wife still fights us every day. He said, every day it requires me to be a caregiver for my wife, and every day is an absolute battle. And Tyler Statton was also talking about, he just was going through a cancer journey. And they were talking about how redemptive suffering. And Pete Gregg, I'll never forget, in that video said, you know, if you would ask me 25 years ago, no, I would never have picked this for my life. I never would have wanted this for my wife. I never would have desired this. But in the middle of the last 20 years, what it's done is this. He said, my compassion for people has grown so much more. I have such a heart for people I never would have had. My dependency on God has grown so much deeper. I actually look to God so much, realizing I can't make it one day without him. My prayer life has been so much more deep in the midst of this. I've learned how to love people when it's really, really hard, when it's really, really sacrificial and difficult. All these things God has done in the midst of something I never would have picked. I never would have known this was for my good. And Tyler Statton shared about his cancer journey and how that's been pain. But in the middle of the pain, it's brought his church together. It's brought people together. It's reconciled people all in the midst of his cancer journey. I think to say that oftentimes we really don't know what the best thing is for us. You know, as I thought about this in my own life, I think the rub is this, is I keep on trying to create a good life. God keeps on trying to create a good person. And if I'm honest, I feel like that's oftentimes the rub. I'm trying to curate some kind of life that I want to live or engineer some kind of life or structure some kind of life. And God is saying oftentimes, John, I'm not looking for that life. I'm looking for you to be a good person. I'm looking for the fruits of the Spirit to be coming out in your life, to be full of someone, full of graciousness, gentleness, compassion, goodness, faithfulness, all those things. And if I'm honest, usually the good life does not produce that. That my pursuit of trying to be comfortable, trying to be happy, trying to engineer convenience, all those things do not produce the life that God is trying to do. You know, it's interesting in this psalm, I think David begins Psalm 23, and he looks out in front of him, and he goes, God, you're leading, and you're directing, and you're guiding, and you're bringing me to fields where I can lay down in streams of water. And God, you're so good to lead me. And then in the middle of Psalm 23, do you notice what happened? All of a sudden, David realizes God's not just out in front of me, but all of a sudden, God is with me. As I walk through dark valleys and shadows and struggles, God, I look and you're not just in front of me, you're beside me. And then David looks at the end of Psalm 23 and goes, you're not just in front of me, you're not just beside me, But I look over my shoulder and I find you're behind me as well. You're following me with goodness and faithfulness. And it's almost like at the end of Psalm 23, David is saying, God, you've surrounded me. You've surrounded me. You've surrounded every part of my life. You lead me, you are with me, and you're behind me. There's no way I can escape you. In Psalm 139, David says that, wherever I go. And this morning, you've been surrounded by God in your life, whether you acknowledge it or not, or whether you think so or not, or whether it feels like that or not. God's goodness and love are surrounding you in every single way. It's interesting, the third word of Psalm 23 is Lord, and the third last word in Psalm 23 is Lord. It's the only two times it's used in Psalm 23, which means God is encompassing you. God is surrounding your life in every way to only have nothing but good and love for you. And so I think the question we need to ask today is, what's chasing you today? What's chasing you this morning? Did you come in here and what's chasing you is guilt and shame over your past? What's chasing you, bitterness and resentment at people around you? Is it things you keep holding on to? What's chasing after you this morning? Busyness and hurry? Or the goodness and love of God? You know what? Go ahead and stand now. And I picked out the next song on purpose. It's called The Goodness of God. And we've sung it many times before. And it talks about how God's goodness is chasing me. And so we're going to sing that here in a minute. But first, I want to invite up a special guest, Beckett McCormick. Let's give Beckett a warm welcome. Back in the spring, I had Beckett come up and close the message, and Beckett was asking about, you know what, John, I can just preach it for you. And so maybe a someday, buddy. But anyways, I'm going to pass that to you, and then would you pray for us right now? Thanks.
Thank you, Pastor John.
Yeah, it's on. Go ahead.
Thank you, Pastor John, for letting me have another chance up here to pray with our church. It's always nice knowing that God is always in my corner with us. When I went to sleepaway camp this summer, I was nervous, but God was with me. We had chapel every morning, and it reminded me of God and always being with Him. It helped me not feel as homesick or alone, and it helped me focus more on camp and making friends. I appreciate that God is always present, and it helps calm me down and give me peace of mind. With that said, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful day, summer, and the band here at Arbor Heights Community Church. Thank you for Pastor John's sermon. The verse he talked about today is very comforting, and we can all use it when we are sad or need some reminding that God is with us always. Thank you for our families and the times we are together. Please let Arbor Heights grow closer together as well as to you. Amen.
Amen. Let's give Becca a hand.